Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
To the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. My name is Stuart Wright, and regular listeners will know I've been the host of Britflix podcast since 2013. For new listeners who came here for the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 content, I've been a resident of Leyton for over 20 years, and I'm proud to be part of a film festival happening right on my doorstep in East London, UK. Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 is a free 4-day film festival and really has something for everyone of all ages who can make it to the birthplace of one of cinema's greats, Alfred Hitchcock. It runs from Wednesday 15th September to Sunday 19th September in outdoor and indoor venues along the Leytonstone High Road and across town. There'll be open air film screenings in Langthorne Park and indoor events in Leytonstone Library, St John's Church, Philibrook, Heathcote and Star, Nexus Centre, online and more. As well as films, there'll be talks, installations, trails and workshops. The Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series will be 10 podcasts in total. 9 are released on Friday, 3rd of September. Each of those podcasts feature 3 or 4 preview interviews with the filmmakers and or film organisations taking part in the 4-day event. A 10th podcast will be released late September and will look back on highlights from Leytonstone Loves Film 2021. The show notes include the names of the guests and organisations featured in this episode, links to the main Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 website, as well as links to specific parts of the programme that feature in this episode. That includes the what, the where and the when. It just needs me to say, on with the interviews and enjoy this episode of the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. Who are you and who or what do you represent?
I'm Nazir. Represent Abner Film Club, which is a kind of revival, kind of pop-up cinema, kind of archive of South Asian cinema clubs that formed in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s when immigrant communities, when people were coming over from South Asia. It's really interesting because back then they didn't have, especially in the 40s, 50s and 60s, there wasn't anything for them to do. At the time, it was, racism was rife. You know, you could either go to the pub or go to white restaurants, but it wasn't anything of their own culture. They couldn't explore that. They couldn't do anything like that. So they ended up renting out cinema halls and community halls and cinemas, screens to screen old Bollywood films. They'll do a whole day and it'd be like £3 or £5 a ticket, depending where you were. And they'd just screen 3 films throughout the day and it'd be a whole community gathering and a whole community thing, so everyone would get together and be the only way for them to get together and share part of their culture with each other. And what we're trying to do is kind of revive that, make these community cinemas where people, the community screenings where people will come and, you know, interact and talk. And like it's one of our things is, you know, always talk through the film, you know, laugh, cheer, have a chat about the film, have a chat about anything. Just it's an interactive experience. It's not just sitting in a room and watching a film. It's the whole atmosphere of it and everyone involved with it. And we have tea and food as well for anyone to come who wants to eat or drink or anything. And we have that there for them. It's a whole community experience rather than just a screening where you go sit, watch a film, and then go home.
So doing that is like is a throwback to a sort of second half of the 20th century of what people did.
Yeah, it's bringing back this part of our history that a lot of my generation and the generation before me as well just barely knew about. I mean, they kind of died out in the 80s, the late 80s, 90s, once VHS started becoming a thing. But I mean, in the 70s and 80s, the Communities Indian Workers Association and just communities bought up whole cinemas for this purpose. They actually bought in Coventry, they bought the Ritz, in Southall, they bought the Dominion. These are old cinemas that were getting sold or getting closed down. They bought them, they pooled their money together. You know, some they took out a mortgage, some they were just all fully pooled together. And they bought them just to screen these films for their community. It's quite interesting.
So when did you begin your film club?
2019, it would have been, we did the screening of Guru Dutt's film Pyasa. That would have been in St. John Church Hall, also as part of Leighton Stone Loves Film.
Oh, wow, okay. So it's very much got a history linked with Leighton Stone Loves Film, is that what you've started and continued?
In a sense, yeah.
Well, look, I mean, the question I got next is, what does Leighton Stone Loves Film mean to you? So can you for the audience that may not have been there or wants to get an insight into it, what do you remember of that screening in the church?
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, it was an amazing turnout. You know, we had, I think it was max capacity, which was 70 to 80 in the church hall. And yeah, it was great. We had samosas, we had bhajias, we had biscuits, we had chai wala come provide chai for us. It was amazing. People loved it. It was amazing because it wasn't just Asian people. There were people of all ethnicities, people from all over coming to see it. And it was actually really interesting to see. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Everyone was interacting with the film. Everyone was laughing, cheering, and crying. It was brilliant. It was a great experience.
So fast forward to today then, what are you going to be contributing to Leighton Stone Loves Film this time?
This time, we're getting to do two screenings, which is exciting. Yeah, so we got the 17th, we're doing a screening of Satyajit Ray's film Charulata, which is about a woman who, I believe she's having an extramarital affair. She's having an affair. And at the time, it's a Bengali film produced in 1964, but it's known as one of his best films. Satyajit Ray himself has said it's the only flawless film he's made, which is, you know, quite high praise.
Few artists ever say that about their work.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're doing it in partnership with Sauda Arts, which is a South Asian art music collective. So they're going to actually be doing a talk on Tagore, the poet, which is who the film is based on. I think one of his poems, the film's based on that. But they're going to be doing a talk on him. And we also have Pandit Chiranjeev Chakraborty doing music. He's going to be doing live music and as pre-show for that, which is really exciting as well.
What, so music from the film or just a music performance?
No, this is just going to be a musical performance that he's going to be doing before, which is it seems brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that's on the 17th. And doors open at 6 p.m. at Leighton Stone Library.
And what's the second film you're going to be screening?
Yeah, so the second film is on the 19th of September, the Sunday. It's Mughli Azam, which is a historical epic, it's a Bollywood historical epic, which is not an all too common genre for them to do, but when they do, it's often done really well. But this is about the Mughal Empire and how one of the sons, the prince of the king, he wants to marry one of the courtesans, one of the court dancers. I think a 3-hour film, possibly a bit more, 3 hours, 20 minutes or something. So it's a very long historical epic, which is generally a good sign. So we'll be doing this in association with the Waltham Forest Women's Network, and they'll be doing a lot of stuff. So they plan to have stalls selling scarves and other stuff. They'll have a stall where they'll be doing henna, which is the Mehndi, the Indian kind of temporary tattoo kind of thing. They're going to have a photo booth. And they also plan to get a singer in to do ghazals before as well, which is, again, quite exciting. Yeah, so hopefully two screenings with live music before. And yeah, in both screenings, we're going to have tea, samosas, you know, bhajias, biscuits, snacks, food for everyone.
Given it's going to be a screening and given sort of ethos that's behind what you're doing, and maybe talk specifically to what you're trying to recreate and remember in the way that you've set up your film club. What is it about film that makes it such a great shared experience?
Film can kind of make everyone feel something. You know, if everyone's watching a film together, you know, if everyone, the more people that are laughing, the more people are going to laugh. It's kind of like that chain reaction. Kind of, the more people that are crying or sad or shocked, you know, everyone else is going to feel that as well, which is why we encourage talking and cheering and singing along with the songs in the film as well, because, you know, that's part of the experience, you know, a community collective viewing of a film, like watching, like no different from watching something at home with a bunch of friends. You know, you're all going to be laughing along, making jokes, you know, enjoying, having a good time. Kind of want that on a bigger scale, because it's like, you know, you go to the cinema, you go to film festivals, you don't always get that. You don't always get that interaction. You know, sometimes you'll get people laughing along and stuff, but it's not the same as kind of everyone being in it together, everyone laughing, everyone talking, everyone cheering. It's a very different kind of experience.
Brilliant. And where can people find out more information about you if they wanted to look you up?
On our Instagram, Apne Film Club, APNEFILMCLUB, Apne Film Club.
And people can reach you there easy enough, can they?
Yep. That's our main social media. We have a Twitter, which is also the same, but yeah, Instagram's the most active, you know, we'll reply to DMs. We're actually looking at where, if anyone that's listening has stories of the old film clubs, we're also an archive. We're always taking in submissions, you know, if anyone has photos or stories of a particular Abner film club that you went to, you know, back in the 60s or 50s, 70s, 80s. We're always taking these stories in, trying to put them out there.
What were the film clubs around here then that you know about?
Well, do you know, at the end of Hull Street, there used to be the Tatler Cinema or the Cameo. Well, you know where One Hull Street is? I'm pretty sure it was right there. There used to be a cinema, the Cameo.
Okay, yeah, I think it was a snooker hall before it's now a block of flats now, isn't it?
Now it's a block of flats, and it was the hub for borough culture as well. A last couple of years ago, that was actually cinema. So it's quite interesting, that one actually, because, you know, it was a normal cinema, and then it was rented out by the Asians on a Sunday, and eventually the Cameo closed and it got changed to the Tatler, and you know, they kept renting out, and eventually the Tatler got bought out and became an adult cinema.
Did it really?
Yeah, it was an adult cinema, and then, but still every Sunday they'd be screening, you know, the community would rent out a screen and screen Bollywood films there, which is quite interesting.
No, that's fantastic. It's a real sort of piece of like social history, isn't it? That's sort of easy to forget. And it's great that you're sort of helping people not forget.
Well, that's exactly it. These stories kind of, I mean, I never ever heard about these film clubs until 2-3 years ago. And when I did, I was so shocked. But I mean, I think Asians will generally tell you this kind of stuff just doesn't get talked about in the families. Because, oh, what does it matter? It's just we're going to see a film. That's what the older generation saw it as anyways. But it's an interesting part of our cultural history here in the UK, but it doesn't often get talked about.
Yeah, because like you said, there wasn't exactly a great load of choices as far as socializing goes. So the idea of creating your own...
Yes, it's very interesting, and it's kind of inspiring. To see them do that.
Yeah, because if I can look at what's on at Cineworld at 02, and there'll be a couple of films that are bought from Bollywood on, won't there? Like as a normal every week.
What's most interesting is the Cineworld in Ilford is mostly attended by Asians. And I'll never forget this. Back when Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, right? Through one of the biggest movies ever in terms of hype. There was also a Bollywood film out with the actor Salman Khan. He's absolutely massive in India. He's huge. He's one of the biggest actors in the country, although the two other Khans are also there. But that film had more screenings than Star Wars on its opening weekend. They both opened on the same weekend, and it had more screenings than Star Wars, which was just mind-blowing to me. It's amazing. I just was shocked. Like, something's outdone Star Wars in this area, in this one little, in Ilford. which is just, I mean, I'm not sure, I don't think it did much more in terms of box office, but the fact that a cinema, that Cineworld, it's a Cineworld there, and they went, oh, you know what, we'll put more screens of this Indian film than Star Wars.
Let's remind people then, when can people see what your films at Lake Sonor Film?
Our screening of Charulata is on the 17th of September at 6 p.m. in the Leytonstone Library, and our screening of Mobiliarsum is at 2 p.m. on the 19th at St. John's Church Hall, which is just, the entrance is just next to Matterland.
I'll be putting links in the show notes.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much for your time on the BritFlix podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You are listening to the Leytonstone Loves Film podcast series. Leytonstone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leytonstone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interview. Who are you? And who or what do you represent?
I'm Marcus Shepherd, and I'm working with Nick Bertram of Stowe Film Lounge, who are an independent mobile cinema who exhibit film, create films, and collaborate with various organisations across London, not just East London. We've been going over 10 years, and we've shown close to 600 films and screened in about 30 plus different locations, maybe 40 now, actually.
Wow. And you've exhibited at every Leytonstone Loves Film today, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, actually. Yeah, we have. We were lucky enough to be asked to collaborate about in the first one, which we were very, we felt very fortunate because, you know, being Stowe Film Lounge, we thought we were from Walthamstow. But it's been a wonderful experience to, you know, visit another part of the borough very nearby, and also meet a lot of people in the borough who are really energised about film. And, you know, we feel it's one of the few festivals in London which is all about film, which is an outdoor festival, community-based. So we feel very honoured that we're part of it, yeah.
So in that sense, what does it what does Leytonstone Loves Film mean to you?
I think what we like about Leytonstone Loves Film is trying to reach new audiences.
Okay.
And the reason we say that is that we think it's a very small, contained area with a lot of people living there who do seem to sort of very much take off, you know, look after themselves. But they've got a great enthusiasm for different kinds of film experiences. And we particularly like the fact with our mobile model that we can effectively pop up anywhere, whether it be indoors or outdoors. We can take certain films to the people, as it were. Mm. And we really like the idea that, not that I'm against, you know, a screening in a venue that people know already, but we can be somewhere where maybe there haven't been film screenings and connect with people that are really doing great work in the community and bring their audiences to see a film that normally they wouldn't go and experience.
Nice one. No, I agree. What will you be popping up in Leytonstone doing this time?
Well, we've been lucky enough to work across the borough in Henry Reynolds and in the library, but last year we did Langthorne Park, and we're going to be based in Langthorne Park this year more than any other location.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about being at the Nexus Centre with Sam Francis and Exhaven as well on the weekend. But because we've got what we call our super screen, which is a giant inflatable screen we got a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic, it was a very good idea of Nick's especially to buy this enormous inflatable screen. We can put that up in Langthorne Park and create, using the amphitheatre, a cinema event and really engage with the community that are there. And for this, we're not going to be called Stowe Film Lounge. We're going to be called Stone Film Lounge.
Oh, nice.
Because we think it's quite important, not as a complete fallacy, to carry on exhibiting there even beyond the festival as Stone Film Lounge and let people feel that this is your film exhibition event. And hopefully we can collaborate with people beyond the event as well, because there's a lot of people in Leytonstone that haven't got a cinema near them. And if they have, they don't go to it. So we feel there's a real audience. So it'll be Langthorne Park this year.
And what aspect or specific event outside of what you're doing are you most looking forward to at Leytonstone Loves Film?
A thing that I've always liked looking out for is what John Rogers does, because I really like John's work.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy the way that he manages to sort of bring together that slightly psychogeographic angle. I don't know if John's officially on board yet. Is he on board? Do you know?
He is, yes. Yes, I'm waiting to hear back from him.
I'm looking to hear back from John and what he does. I've also really liked what Dominic Stinton does before as well. And I've had a chat with Dom. He's got a project, if you've spoken to him already, that I'm quite keen to maybe get involved with as well as a sort of audience member and collaborator, a silent film project idea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the problem we have is that if we're exhibiting, we can't attend other events.
Of course.
We tend to be exhibiting all the time. So that's why with John's event, hopefully we can get along to it if it isn't in conflict with our event. And also, if we are exhibiting for somebody else, we're not showing our own work. Once it's up, we can actually, you know, Nick can go and run the projector and I can sneak out. So we'll see if we can do that.
You know? What particular films are you going to be showing? Do you know?
We don't know yet, actually, but we will be making a little film again in the style of Take the High Road that we made last year.
Okay.
About the Langstone High Road. We're going to make a film about Langstone Park.
Okay.
And that, again, we want to do because we can hopefully channel that with the exhibition we'll be doing and talk to people like who are based there already, whether it be the toy library. And we've been down there to have a recce, talk to people that already have invested in that park themselves over many years. And so we want to make a little film that shows a day in the life of the park and then hopefully end it with Stowe Film Lounge or Stone Film Lounge appearing in the park and have this weird meta moment of showing the very film that we've been making on the night that we've made it. That's the idea. So a little bit of a gimmick because the film will exist beyond the festival, but just to do it like a nice little slice of life film that will show, you know, what is unique about that park in particular. And last year with Take the High Road, I did actually do a bit of research in the Langstone Park and purposely kind of avoided including it. So this year, some of the things that I found out about it and the people that are there can be included in the film as well. And that will be called One Day in the Life of Langstone Park.
And as a filmmaker, what excites you about making films about these very specific locations within the borough that you're playing with?
Well,
in terms of,
I like it, to be honest, because I can walk to them, which is always great. I'm a big fan of walking from where I live.
You don't need to be at your trailer on set, is that what you're saying?
Well, also, it's not that. I don't have to be on the night bus coming back from Soho House or whatever, as I used to many years ago. And so living in the borough now for the last 22 years, what I have noticed is so much of the work that we're doing and I'm doing is right on my doorstep. So the audience that we encounter and talk to, I get to see the whites of their eyes when we screen. And with Take the High Road, although the reach of that film is probably 2,000 people that have seen it really loved it. And that's what I enjoy about it is, although I'm not against, you know, online streaming, you don't know who's watching it. But when you make a film with people that are nearby, like with The Tricycle Thief, some of the kids I made a film with recently saw it and they were amazed that a film was made with people like them. So I think I'm really enjoying that excitement and enthusiasm for films coming to life with people who are in them that see them. I like that. And I think amateur, I think it means French. It means lover. Amateur, it means lover of something. So I don't mind seeing amateur as being a really positive thing. So that's what I like about it.
I think it's interesting tapping into that idea of not so much seeing yourself on film, but seeing where you live on film is actually quite important to an audience,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah, and also with Take the High Road, if you've seen, I think you've watched it. I was really emotionally engaged in that film when I screened it, when I see people watching it, and I see how beautiful and the sense of loss of that film, which I think Leytonstone Love's film hopefully tackles a bit, is that it is an area of London that was really, you know, architecturally abused, actually. It's a real tragedy for history. And, you know, as we said before about John Smith's films, they haven't dared do that in any other part of the country, that brutalization of a city by sticking this massive road next to it, you know?
Because
the High Road used to be a massive place for working class people to go and have the best of everything, cinemas, pubs, department store. And that's what I get out of seeing these places come to life, is that Walthamstow, which you and I know well, it is a much fated borough. Leytonstone, I think, was bigger than Walthamstow for a long time. It was a much more significant borough. And it's no coincidence that a lot of people have come from there who've gone on to become quite internationally famous, whether it be Beckham or Hitchcock. It was a place that the working class could live well and look after themselves. And I quite like that coming to life in the films, you know.
Given you are an exhibitor with Stowe or Stone Film Lounge, as you are for this event, why does film work best when it's a shared experience?
If I can go off at a tangent, I've got a friend of mine that's got a sauna in his garden.
Okay.
And I thought about a sauna, and it's not unlike a cinema in a way. It's that when you go and watch a film, you can't have your phone on, really. You shouldn't.
Mm.
You're not reading a book. You're not distracted. And I think there's so few environments, whether it be a cinema or a sauna, where you properly get to be in a space with other people where you're not going to be leaving it anytime soon and you're a captive audience. And at the moment with technology, it's very hard to be away from your own world and get lost in something. So I think what cinema does is that, you know, it takes you out of where you are. And not that I think it can't exist, but I think home cinema is an oxymoron. You can't have home cinema. You can't. It's not home cinema. Home cinema doesn't exist. Cinema only exists when you and several other people are watching a film together in another space, I think. And that, I think, is a rare experience.
Yeah, because the home cinema is always governed by the fact that any one of you can pause it and go to the toilet, which you can't do with an exhibited film, can you? You don't have that privilege.
No, and also in Langthorne Park last year, we had loads of kids that were hanging around saying, what's happening tonight? And we realised we didn't have tickets for it. So we're very keen that people that come and see the film, where possible, they know about it and come along. Because even last weekend, we were screening at Fellowship Square. A lot of people came out to watch films and said to us afterwards, that was great. And it's sometimes it's the film, but often it's the fact that they've forgotten how great it is to be away from your home watching a movie. You know, and I mean, not that I'm against indoors, by the way, I'm really not.
Mm.
But watching a film outside does feel really special now, especially in the light of the pandemic, you know.
And I think, I remember as I got into my mid-teens and a little bit older, going to a film was an escape in all sense of the word. You were going somewhere where you weren't, where you could go and imagine for yourself, you know, you're escaping normal, even if it's just watching a drama, you know, you don't have to be particularly visceral or political. It just is not your world, so you get to see it.
And that's why we also always try and put together before films other elements, whether it be a trailer or a funny advert or a public information film that we find. Because it's something that I've noticed once upon a time in Hollywood, if you know the film.
Mm.
My generation, and probably your generation a little bit, and his generation, you got excited about the idea of it. And I think it's quite good when you see a film. The film doesn't have to be great, but the experience of watching the film can be great. So if you can play beforehand a little promo or a pop video or a public information film, it adds value to the experience. It adds value to the expectation of what you're going to be watching, you know, and that's what I grew up with. And I think the current generation, you know, if they're younger, they're not used to the idea that the film itself doesn't have to be that great, but the experience can be great, you know?
And It's wonderful with Leytonstone Us Film because it's bringing cinema to a town that is famous for Alfred Hitchcock, who is obviously a huge director and innovator in terms of film, and yet there isn't a cinema in Leytonstone. So Leytonstone Us Film sort of wakes it up for a short period of time, as it were.
Well, I think it's entitled The High Road, and Dominic Stinton talks about it. There was like 13 cinemas or something.
Whoa.
On the High Road. You have to ask if you haven't done it. I mean, I can clarify it, but I think there was 13 cinemas. So that meant that when you lived there, film was part of your existence. There wasn't one cinema like you have, like you might have the screen in the green where it's a big deal. It was like there's loads of cinemas and they'd be showing different movies. And I think something about the idea of going out. A few years ago, my mother-in-law found down the back of a sofa a diary from a girl in the 1940s living in Holloway. She went to the cinema three times a week. And in this diary over a whole year, she never once mentioned what film it was. It was about going to the pictures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yet she might have mentioned James Stewart was in it or whoever, Gregory Peck. Never mentioned the movie, mentioned who she saw, what she wrote, like went to a double bill, saw Ricky, had a coffee afterwards. Going to the pictures, people talk about going to the pictures here.
Mm.
It wasn't the movie theatre. It wasn't a big deal. And that's what I think we've lost a little bit. The very act of going out in itself is in itself a real required part of going to cinema. So, listen, you know me well, Stuart. I love movies. I like the idea of going to the film as much as the film itself, you know.
I concur. Well, look, let's hope a lot of people get to go out to the Leytonstone Loves Film movies or the pictures in E11. And it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving us your time on the Britflix podcast.
Thanks, Stuart. And keep up the good work, mate. Well done.
You are listening to the Leytonstone Loves Film podcast series. Leytonstone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leytonstone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interviews. Who are you and who or what do you represent?
I'm JJ from Wilmer, so I'm the founder of the charity that's based in Leyton. And Wilmer exists to reduce social isolation and effectively bring people together through running different creative workshops. And we get people from the creative industries, a lot of them who are local, to share their skills with our local community to essentially bring people together and to connect individuals and communities. And it's Wilmer with two I's, W-I-I-L-M-A.
And how did Wilmer come about?
So Wilmer was born really out of some social issues and problems that we were aware of. So isolation is something that people often feel affects only older people, and that's not the case. So for quite a number of years, personally and also my colleagues, we've been wanting to do a project which will actually bring people across the generations together. And really, the workshops that we do is really a vehicle to do that. So it came about from just recognizing that despite London being such a busy place with millions of people, it can be quite a lonely place. And it's not always so easy to meet other people. You may be not just from another country. You may be coming from another town or another city, the other side of the country. And then you may not have any social connections. And it's just a great way, we thought, to start a project which will really just connect people with their communities, but using a variety of creative kind of workshops to do that.
What does Leytonstone Loves Film mean to you?
So Leytonstone Loves Film, it's the first time that we've been involved. We're so delighted to have been invited by the Barbican and nominated by We Are Parable to be involved. So what it means is it's a celebration of film and the historic legacy of film owing to Sir Alfred Hitchcock. And for us to be a part of that, we're very privileged, and we actually feel it's a way to connect with people through film and all the different mediums of film.
Now, you say we, so we've got a couple of other people on the call. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, so before I kind of hand over to Rachel and Lee, Rachel and Lee are specialists around public art and architecture. So they're going to specifically be talking about that and how they got involved with Wilmer. But before I do that, if I can talk about, just give a mention as to what we're doing with Leytonstone Loves Film this year. So we're going to be running three events as part of Leytonstone Loves Film. The first one is on Saturday, the 18th of September, which is around film posters and celebrating the magic of movies through film posters and film art, where you'll have an opportunity to recreate your favorite classic film posters. And you also, prior to 1980, film posters were mainly illustrations and not photo-based. Mm-hmm. So an artist tutor will actually be guiding people to enable you to actually reimagine these posters. So, for instance, could be Casablanca, Star Wars, Gone with the Wind. You know, it's going to be a great workshop on Saturday the 18th. We're running an architectural drawing and art workshop, mixed media art workshop, which Rachel and Lee will tell you about in a minute. But the workshop is very much about bringing the old cinemas of Leytonstone back to life. So it's a concept that I kind of presented Lee and Rachel with to develop, where we really wanted to revisit the old cinemas and focus on one of the most beautiful ones that we had in Leytonstone, which are no longer there, but we feel it's a legacy and it's important to celebrate those buildings. We're also running an art exhibition in the foyer of Leytonstone Library, and where we will be, as a bonus, be presenting for the first time the results of an art competition we ran, which was a lockdown art competition, Create and Connect from Home, which was for children and adults from all over. And it was supposed to be a local competition, but it spread through word of mouth, and we ended up getting entries from all around the world, from children and adults who somehow heard about it online. So, and we don't like to close our doors to anyone, so we decided to just keep it open to everybody from wherever you are. So it's a local stroke international art exhibition of all these entries, exploring different themes from inspirational quotes to love to world cultures. So it's a real your dreams. It's a real interesting thing people have explored. So we'd very much encourage you to come and have a look at that art exhibition as well. So before I hand over to Rach and Lee, just to say, please do visit our website. So it's www.wiilma.org, and you'll be able to book onto the workshops there as well and find out more. And you'll have our social media links, like to Instagram and Twitter. But now I'll hand over to Rachel and Lee, who will introduce themselves and tell you more about the workshop around architectural drawing and mixed media. Thank you.
Thanks, JJ. I'll be doing the workshop with Lee on the 19th of September. We're really super excited to see everyone and have a good chat as well, and get our creativity flowing. And actually, we'll basically be doing some art around one of the cinemas that was demolished in 1930s. It's absolutely beautiful, stunning building. There's only a few archive photos from it that we can find, so we're bringing it back to life. We're using three templates, and it's an outline of the cinema. The cinema used to be opposite Leytonstone tube station, so you kind of get a more of a where it used to be located. And these three templates will show we can actually cut out windows and doors, and we can actually have our own spin on our creativity on this template. So you can use watercolors, different medium to apply onto the template. And another one will be I will be helping you figure out the proportions of the buildings. So the template is going to be blank, and then the intricate detailing will be drawn with my help if you need it. So the brickwork, the steel work, the signage is absolutely stunning as well, so it can help with that. And then you have your own your own art of the cinema. And last, the other template will be the signage, as it will be completely different colours of stained glass, and we'll be using translucent different coloured glass, coloured card to depict, showing the different variations of colour for the signage. And so, yeah, we're really so excited. This came about purely from through lockdown. I started drawing some buildings around Leighton as I'm a local. I ended up drawing Leighton Town Hall and then a few more buildings. So my hobby just came back to life, really, which I was super excited about. Wilma got in contact with me, and I just started realizing that there is a community through Wilma that's been, you know, we're all starting to connect through creativity and diversity. And this has made me feel, through lockdown as well, due to isolation, that there is people that after lockdown and everything, that we can get together and be creative together, as well as have a chat and actually learn new things from each other as well. So this is how it came about. And it's amazing to know that there was five different cinemas that were demolished in the area and no longer here. And it'll be great to really see them back in an art form.
Who are you expecting to be interested in attending your workshop?
If I can come in there just to help Rachel out, because these specific workshops are actually for adults, for these specific ones. In the future, we're going to be running them for younger people as well. But for these two workshops, they're for people above 18 and over, really. So from 18 to, we say, 120, that's our age range when we say adults, really. And could I also just say, because I don't feel I gave an introduction to Rachel and Lee that I wanted to, but Rachel's an architectural professional and Lee's an international artist who graduated from the world-famous Slade Art School. And she's a public artist as well. And they're both involved with architecture and architectural drawing and art. And we're really, really lucky to have them on board. And like all of the people from the community from different industries, we kind of want to give, you know, Joe Public really access to things they wouldn't normally have access to in their immediate community. Back to you, Rachel and Lee.
So after we've finished with the templates and we've added our artistic flair onto these templates, we will be producing light changes to it. So this is what Lee will be working on as well with you. So I'll pass it on to Lee to explain more.
Thank you, Rachel. Rachel covered the structure of the workshop beautifully. So I will just add a little bit onto the lighting part of the workshop. Before that, let me introduce myself. I'm Lee. I'm a professional artist who's very interested in community art, placemaking, and how community can involve in placemaking process. To explain my beginning with Wilma, I think I met JJ in 2019. Is it JJ? Back then I was looking for a chance to get involved in a community art, and JJ was looking for an artist who could lead art workshop. So it was a perfect match. So with Wilma and JJ, I did a workshop in Leighton Library. JJ showed me around the town because I'm not from Leighton, and I was struck by the fact that there are so many beautiful buildings, historic buildings in the area. So naturally, I chose Leighton Library as a subject and created 3D paper model workshop to help people to build their own version of 3D model of Leighton workshop, and talked about the stories behind the building and the surrounding areas. Yeah, great memories from the pre-pandemic era. So when JJ came to me this year, asked me if I want to get involved in another workshop, I said, yeah, why not? So that's how I'm here. So move to our workshop. Rachel, we did some research and Rachel found some pictures of Gaiety Cinema, and we learned that there is a beautiful stained glass frontage. It was so beautiful and I liked it so much. We decided to introduce that element into the workshop. So during the workshop, you will create a simple version of stained glass with cutout frame and, like Rachel said, colored transparent card and other materials. And once you are done with that, you will be projecting it on the wall with various lightings that we prepared. We've got candles, we've got bicycle lights, we've got stage light, all sorts of lights to create a mesmerizing, very dazzling effect of light and shadow. And by doing so, we hope that people will recreate their own version of Gaiety Cinema and it will stimulate their imagination. Lastly, before I end, I think there's where we can find the connection between our workshop and the cinematic experience and Leytonstone Film Festival. Because cinema, if you simply put it, it's an illusion created by light and shadow. But we all know that it's so much more than that. It's a form of art, and it's an art manipulated by lighting and shadow to stimulate people's imagination and bring out people's emotional response. So that's what we are trying to achieve with this light and shadow effect within our workshop. Although Gaiety Cinema is gone, we will try to help people to bring their emotional response by creating a beautiful lighting shadow effect with the stained glass. So use their imagination to bring the Gaiety cinema back to life, and so that we can talk about it and enjoy it.
Well, Lee, while I've got you on, I'd just be interested to know what you said. You were interested in community arts. Just to differentiate the two, what is community arts as opposed to sort of you just doing your art practice? What would you say is the difference?
The studio art is very within yourself. You follow your thought process, to follow your instinct, to understand the material, and you know, it's like a conversation between material stories and yourself as an artist.
Yeah.
Whereas the community arts, you're expected to hear more about what people think and what people want, and bring that into the art form. And it's more like creating the arts together with other people and with the community.
Brilliant. Oh, I like that. And then one last thing, because we're talking about a film festival, what is it in particular, and obviously all three of you have a go at this one, what is it in particular about film that works the best as a shared experience?
Film is something that is very accessible to all. So it's quite democratic in that sense. And so it's... The beauty of film is it brings people together globally, internationally. You have, you know, from the silent movies to the present day, you know, you have films which have no speech or dialogue, which can communicate, you know, powerful emotions. I think the power of, you know, the beauty of film is that it can just really bring people together from regardless of where you're from. And you can also... coming from the perspective of our charity, because we're also very, very interested in social issues. We've got another ongoing project called Wilma Community Voices, where we try to focus on issues that affect our communities, such as disappearing art spaces and the impact of different developments. So yeah, film is really a voice, it gives a platform and a voice to highlight social issues. So for me, I feel that's very important. But it's also, again, related to our charity. You know, it gives you an opportunity to give people an insight to different cultures and world cultures. Because as Rachel mentioned, you know, our charity is a diversity charity, and everything we do has an international theme. So all of the music, dance, art workshops, there's always a real international theme to what we do. So yeah, I think that's what. But for me, film is an opportunity to bring people together, watch it with your friends, family, but also really have an insight to different world cultures and social themes that need attention.
So what it means to me is it's part of it's an nostalgia. It's an experience. You can watch films with your friends. You can watch films with the community, university, education, your family, and you'll always remember what you were doing or at that point, and it reflects with the film that you're watching. So it gathers more thoughts and feelings and emotions whilst you're watching a film. And also it shows, also what I do love about film is it can show you something that you didn't know was about years before you were born. For instance, there's like really old films that my parents watched, and then I watched it with them, and they would say, oh, I remember watching this when I was your age. You know, it brings all of this, it connects us all together. And that, I think that's what's really important. It's very similar to photography and art, and film is definitely one of them.
Brilliant, brilliant. Lee?
Now that we are living in pandemic era, the OTT movie platforms like Netflix, Amazon Prime seem like it's dominating the world. But watching movie in the cinema as an experience, I think it'll never be replaced, because watching movie is a collective experience for me. The setting, where you watch movie, who you watch it with, the smell of cinema, the temperature, the tactility of the seat and everything, it combines together and creates a unique experience. I remember watching movie with my mom and holding hands, and you know what it was like in the cinema, and all, it's all really good memories. So I think movie as a sharing experience, it can never be replaced. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to going back to cinema once, you know, it's all get better.
Well, on that positive note, it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving your time on the Britflix podcast.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Leighton Stone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. If you've got time, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Leighton Stone Loves Film is produced by The Barbican in partnership with local residents and organisations and is commissioned by the London Borough of Waltham Forest, supported by Arts Council England.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.